And welcome back.
Let's go.
To the Tuned In Podcast. Andrew and Braden here with episode 24.
What a time to be alive. What two straight time. Wins for the Jazz.
Two wins in a row. Dang, look at straight. Us. Look we at these boys playing
underestimated
well.
Our boys. We sincerely apologize.
Yep.
You deserved better from us.
Hey, I think we both predicted a win against the Rockets at least. So we had some
That's
faith.
That's true. We did have one. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I might have clinched the championship with predicting games this year.
Yeah, I think so. I might demand a recount, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, no. I got a 3-game lead. There's only 1 game left.
Yeah.
But we did a pretty good job predicting. We both got 40-plus games right.
Yeah.
I don't know how many of those were wins or losses for the Jazz, but
yeah,
we did pretty good.
Yeah,
we'll have to see next season if we can break the record. I think I got 47, so.
Yeah, honestly, for real, it's going to be like a running thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, lots of Utah sports stuff going on. Obviously, we'll talk about that later, but kind of a crazy time to be a Utah sports fan.
We might have a hockey podcast incoming.
Yep,
we'll get
right.
to that.
Dunedin Coyotes, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, today's episode, we got a lot of exciting things happening. Obviously, for probably almost the last time, we're going to talk about our past week's games.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll have one to talk about next week. But then we'll talk about our upcoming game against the Warriors. And then we have a couple of pieces of Jazz news we'll talk about. Maybe talk about our pick. Do we have it? Do we not have it? And then, kind of an exciting thing, we're going to go through the top 10 Jazz highlights from this season.
Been waiting for that.
Which is going to be hype. Even though we haven't had a great season, we have had a lot of highlights. So that'll be fun to talk about. Of course, we got a bunch of NBA news. Lots going on with seeding in the playoffs and MVP race. And then we'll just dive into some local sports. How the championship game went last week. That was after our episode. Obviously, a big head coach left us and we have a new hockey team, like as we mentioned.
Oh, yes.
So lots of exciting things to get to today.
Yeah, go ahead and follow us on Instagram at Tuned In Jazz and catch us on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and get ready for a great episode.
This is episode 24 of Tuned In Jazz. All right. So, yeah, you definitely have the record. In case you're curious what our records are at the end of the season, minus 1 game, obviously, is Andrew's at 47-21, and I'm currently at 44-24. I couldn't catch him, but pretty close, pretty close.
For sure. And we didn't predict every game. There's a couple games we didn't have a podcast on a certain week, so it's not equaling 82, but
I think we're at 68.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good with holidays and whatnot.
That's not bad.
But yeah, let's get into the Warriors game first.
Let's
that was the last game since our last episode last Sunday. It was on the road and it was a pretty big loss.
Yep.
Let's just start with one thing I want to point out is how good the Warriors are looking right now.
Oh man. Yeah. I honestly think as of right now, I think the play-in, I think the Kings, Lakers, and Warriors are all locked into the play-in. And that's actually going to be
kind of a crazy
play-in.
It's going to come down to the last game, I think, with some of the seeding.
Yeah, so that's kind of all three of those teams are looking nice to end the season. They've just had slow. But anyways, yeah, the Warriors, they're looking really nice. 131 is not what we would want to let teams drop on us.
Yeah, they also did this without Steph Curry. He was sitting out for this game.
Yeah.
But they have one of the best backup point guards in Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Played pretty well. Klay Thompson led them in scoring with 32 points and Jonathan Kuminga with 21 off the bench. But a pretty all around good game for a lot of their players.
Yeah. One thing to note for the Jazz, I guess, if we're finding bright spots here, Johnny Juzang, 27 points. 9 for 12. He didn't take a lot of shots for 27 points. I think that seems like kind of a common trend.
7 out of 8 threes.
Yeah.
That's insane.
What a beast. It's kind of a common trend this week, as we'll see in our other games. It's like we just have a lot of young guys that are taking their opportunities right now. So I'm happy for him.
Yeah, we'll get into it later, but I think Johnny Juzang has found a spot in the rotation next season. Yeah. Just with the way he's shooting the ball alone. But yeah, I mean, the highlight of the game was probably him hitting those 7 3-pointers.
Yeah.
I'll also say in this game, Keontae had a pretty good outing. He had 25.
Yeah.
He went 4 for 11 for 3, which is all right. And yeah, he had 5 free throws and made all 5 of them. So like we were saying in the past, he's staying aggressive and he's getting to the line every game now.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Absolutely. That's been really nice. He Colin Sexton didn't have the game that he usually has. I guess that's we've kind of been spoiled a little with Colin Sexton the last 3-4 months.
He's been so consistent.
Yeah, 15 points isn't a bad game by any measure, but for him lately, that's not great. But he's been incredible.
Yeah, we also just pretty much never led this game.
Yeah, no.
After the first quarter was over, they were up by like 12 points or something like that and never looked back. So
yeah,
it was a tough game in terms of like trying to win, but we, of course, getting that experience, that's kind of what we're looking for in these types of games anyways, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Our next game, we went back home, played the Nuggets. I think we both predicted a loss on this one. We were fortunately right. They're also a team fighting for seeding. I think as of last night, the Nuggets, Thunder, and Wolves were all tied for first.
Wow.
In the West. So that's going to be a crazy race. But anyways, they're fighting hard.
I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that before where it comes down to the end.
Yeah, it's kind of wild.
I think it's cool too because there's not like one clear-cut favorite like when it was Warriors every year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we love that.
And you got teams in the lower half of the, at least in the West, that are like you feel like could compete or surprise somebody, you know?
Yeah, right.
But one positive note that I had, Yurt 7 was 20-11.
Might be his career high. I don't know if he's had 20 in another game. Maybe he has, but
and
that's
I feel like we just haven't like seen him get a ton of minutes. Even like, I guess we have, but I don't know. It was good to see him get some significant time in the game.
He's not the best 3-point shooter, but he at least shoots them and makes them every once in a while. Yeah.
Absolutely.
He can, and unlike some of our other centers who don't really shoot them too often.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will also say this game, I could tell like the Nuggets, they were just like going through the motions.
Yeah.
Jokic didn't play like as much as he would in like other more competitive games. He played 34 minutes. But yeah, they just kind of coasted along and it took care of business in Utah.
Yeah, they're such a good team. I'm so excited for the playoffs. This is I'd be more excited if the Jazz were involved, but yeah, there's going to be some good games. The Nuggets are in playoff form. They're ready to get done with all these garbage games.
Yeah, so definitely. We also never led in this game, not even at the beginning.
Man.
Just dominant effort by the Nuggets. I think we cut it down to like maybe 2 or 3.
Yeah.
But they just kept the lead, and especially at the end of the game, they like grew their lead a decent amount.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was like fairly close, but we just never led.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then we stayed at home, played the Houston Rockets, and we got us a win.
Finally, let's go.
Good news.
Let's go. This was a good game.
But it was a really great game. Yeah, Fred VanVleet, we let him drop 42 on us. But that's okay.
He's making his threes this game for
sure. Yes, he was. I was really impressed with Luka Semenic at 22. That's what I'm saying. I feel like this week everybody got to eat, you know.
Will say Luka Semenic did shoot 41% and 14% from 3. So
not great.
He shot 17 shots. I don't think he'll really get that very often.
Nope.
So not great efficiency, but I think what he did show in this game is his hustle and like second chance points.
Yeah.
He also had 6 rebounds with 3 offensive. So he did do a good job of getting those second chance points, along with Kenny Lofton also, who had 14 points, 9 rebounds with 5 offensive. And he also had 5 assists as well. So he had a good outing too.
Yeah, he's a beast. Luke Samanich still had our highest plus minus, although it wasn't like crazy high. But yeah, Kenny Lofton, man, yeah, we'll talk about him in our next game, obviously, but he's just, I really hope the Jazz keep him around. I like the way he plays a lot.
He's 270 pounds.
Yeah.
He's like a football player out there.
Just, absolute unit.
The only thing is he was a 53% free throw shooter.
Yeah.
That kind of turned me off a little bit, but everything else on the court like makes me think, why is he not able to shoot free throws?
Yeah. If he could shoot free throws, he might like, he's just the type of dude so physical that like, it's like, man, he might be one of the most dominant players in the NBA if he like,
yeah, I think they said last season on the Grizzlies, he had like a 40-point game to end the season.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe that's coming against the...
Yeah.
What is it? The Warriors, our last game?
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Right over Draymond, too. That'd be sick.
Yeah. Yeah, this game was pretty close throughout. The Jazz pulled it out at the very end. Very close game. Exciting to watch. And yeah, I feel like just a really good all-around game for a lot of our guys to... to get some play and sharing the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of close games, last night, closed it at the end against the Clippers at 110-109. I will say, I did think our defense on that last play was very poor. I'm like,
yes,
we were very lucky like, that there was not a shot. We could easily
lost. That shot was like wide open at the buzzer. Yeah.
But we'll take the win. I thought Keontae played really nice. Obviously, the MVP of the night, Kenny Lofton, 27-9-8.
Absolute I believe beast.
20 of those was in the first half.
He also went 0-5 from three, but that's okay.
Yeah, and man, what a unit, dude! I was at a little bachelor party last night, and we had it like up on a screen, and I was like, I wasn't paying super close attention, but every time I looked over, the dude is like has the ball in his hands, backing somebody down, and. And, he's a beast. That was a good game.
Yeah, the Clippers also pulled their starters after the first quarter.
Yeah.
I think they found out that they were locked into the fourth seed, so this game didn't really matter at a certain point. So, I mean, that's okay with us, because, like, our top six or seven players didn't play either.
Yeah.
This whole stretch, it's kind of been, like, our bench.
Yep.
So... good to see a little bit more of an even playing field with them not having their starters.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a good game. Kenny Lofton was absolute. He also had four offensive rebounds in this one.
Yeah.
So I love to see he's on the glass and getting a lot of buckets that way.
I'm curious what are your thoughts on I'm maybe like zooming out into the future, but like if he stuck around and like was maybe more consistent with those numbers, could you see a lineup with him and Walker Kessler, or do you think that's still too big?
Ooh, with Kenny Lofton at like the four, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Let me think. Let me look at his stats for the season. Because I think what it will boil down to for me is, can he shoot?
Yeah.
Because we've seen like with Collins and Kessler out there, Collins is like an okay shooter. He might he might be a little bit better than Kenny Lofton.
Yeah.
From what I've seen. So I just feel like if Kenny Lofton can't shoot, I don't think he could go out there with Kessler.
Yeah, that's true. That does limit it. As of this season, and he's only played 20 games, so that's kind of hard, but he's 45% from the field and 27% from three. So not a great shooter.
Pretty bad three-point shooter, yeah, so I don't know how I'd feel about it. But off the bench, he does bring a lot of energy.
That's true.
We could play through him in some ways.
Yeah.
He can kind of pick his spots.
Yeah, I guess it wouldn't be terrible to have him and Markkanen maybe like in some type of rotation. I mean, obviously Markkanen is not coming off the bench, but
yeah, I don't know. He's a very peculiar player. I just don't really know how he'll fit, but he is good. Yeah. So I don't think we should necessarily just get rid of him just because we don't know how to play with him.
Absolutely. He has a role in the NBA. Just gotta figure out what it is.
Well, I guess we could go to our player of the week.
Yep.
We've already beat the horse a little bit. I put Kenny Lofton as my guy.
Nice.
Just because of the past two games especially. He almost had a triple-double against the Clippers last night too with 27 points. That 14-point game against the Rockets where he was getting all those rebounds and getting us going. So I just put him. I did not think at any point during the year that he would be a player of the week. Not even when we signed him, honestly, did I think that he would be a candidate for player of the week, but he is. Look at us. Look at him now.
Man.
So we'll see where he could go in the future.
Let's go. We talked before this. We didn't think we'd have the same one, but we did. I have Kenny Lofton as well.
Let's go.
I think you actually bring up a great point about like not knowing how to use him because he's a little bit different. I kind of feel like he might be one of those guys in the NBA. Kind of like he kind of reminds me of Mac McClung a little, not how he plays, but just his like
body types are way different.
Yeah, definitely different play styles. But both of those guys are just like very skilled at what they do. But it's just like hard to know how to use them on an actual NBA team. Like on the G League, both of those guys are going to be the MVP every year.
Right,
like
right.
They'll drop 30 points and a triple-double. But it's like, how do you translate that to the NBA game without like just giving them the keys, you know? So it's kind of like, but anyways, I'm really happy for him. I actually just like, I don't know why, he just seems like a cool dude to me. So
yeah, he seems like that guy that you'd pull up to at like the YMCA or like the rec center.
Oh yeah, dude.
And like you want him on your team.
Oh yeah, dude.
Cause he's going to get you open shots. He's going to get all the rebounds for you.
Yeah.
And dude, like if you had him on your team, you're just going to win.
Yeah, dude.
So like that's kind of what I see in his archetype a little bit.
Yeah. There's just a permanent mouse in the house in the paint whenever he's in there.
Yeah. I would want him on my team at the rec center.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we just have one game.
The last game of the season.
Last game of the season.
We've covered a whole NBA season on a podcast.
Yes, we have.
Look at us.
Yes, thank you for supporting us. I know we say it all the time, but we really do appreciate you. It's crazy that we've covered 82 games, even though we haven't guessed all of them. We've,
plus the preseason, you could say almost 100.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So Jazz currently 31-50. What do you think? Are we going to finish 32-50 or 31-51?
Let's look at the standings also, because I know the Warriors are like right there in the mix.
Yeah, they are.
So I think they're going to probably want to try and win. Let's see. I think, are they still in the 10th spot?
Yeah. So they could.
They're tied with the Kings also in that 10th spot. And
so they could
one
also
game behind
move,
the Lakers.
Yeah, they could move past the Lakers. And I'm sure they'll want to. That 9-10 spot's a terrible.
Yeah.
Because you have to win and then win again. And yeah, I wouldn't want that
all
spot.
Right. For that reason, plus we're on the road, I got a loss. The Warriors are going to come in. They want to win. We don't have our top six players. So for those reasons, I got a loss against the Warriors.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, you know, not that I'm going to catch you, but I have a win.
Oh,
actually.
Shoot.
I wasn't even
thinking. Why do you have that?
Well, I wasn't even thinking about playoff seeding, but I still feel pretty good about it. I think the Warriors just have such an old team, quote unquote. Or at least the guys that they rely on are very, like, you know, I don't know.
Do you think Kenny Lofton's going to go off for 40 again? Or, like, what's going to be the difference maker if we were to win?
You know what? I'm going to... This is a hot take. Taylor Hendricks is going to ball out this game.
That is a hot take.
That is a hot take. But I just think, I don't know, Warriors... I could see the Warriors resting some guys. I know that they're fighting for playoff seeding, but I could see them, like, feeling like it's worth it to just be well-rested for their... You know, their game
doesn't matter if they don't make the play in, though. So, I don't know. I think that
I mean,
they have all the reason to try and win. I think I'd bring all my guys out there.
That's true. I think they're locked in at least to the 10. I'm pretty sure the Rockets
are
out.
Yeah.
So, they're not gonna.
I guess if the Lakers win, there's a chance maybe they can't move up to 7-8.
Yeah.
So, I could see maybe if they can't move up at all, they might try and just. Take a rest, because I think the Kings have the tiebreaker over them also.
Yeah, so the Lakers currently, their very last game is against the Pelicans tomorrow.
Big game right there.
And that's kind of a tough matchup. I think the Pelicans are in the sixth seed, and they could drop down to 7, so the Pelicans aren't going to want to lose either.
Mm-mm.
The West seeding is so crazy right now. I'm sure the Clippers and Mavericks are happy that they're locked in because they're like the only two teams that are locked in
right
now.
Right. They're like, all right, let's take a break now.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. I don't know. I'm kind of unsure about your pick right there. I think the Warriors are going to ball out. But I'd love to see 3 wins in a row to end off the season. That's what as fans, that's what every team deserves, is to have their last couple games be exciting to end off the season. So hopefully we do get a win.
But
going into our next segment, just a quick news. We want to talk about the lottery, because that's kind of the most important thing for the Jazz right now. And actually, as per almost a week ago, we are locked in to the eighth spot for the number one pick.
Yeah.
So we passed Brooklyn, like we talked about last week. We have no shot at going any higher or any lower. We're just we're just there now.
We're there. Yeah, so that's but we got our pick, likely, if the lottery doesn't fail us.
Right, right.
Which is good news for us, I think. It's interesting because, like, I've just seen, we went over, you know, our mock draft, who the Jazz could take. But the interesting thing is I've seen so much, like, fluctuation in mock drafts. Like one of them, when we were looking at it, it had Donovan Klingon from UConn as, like, a late lottery. But then I saw another one making an argument that he could be the number one pick. And I was like,
that'd be crazy.
And so I just don't even know. I guess it'll be interesting who works out for us, because there's just so much fluctuation.
There's so many players. Yeah, they're trying to figure out after the tournament too, because some guys had a good tournament, some guys had a bad one. We also got all those foreign players to slide in there. We don't know how to compare them because they haven't even played against a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
But another thing that I want to point out is with the eighth best odds, we can't move lower.
Oh,
like number eight, that is the lowest we could get.
The top eights by record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we could move anywhere up to one. We have a 6% chance at number one and a 26% chance at top four. But no matter what, we got at least eight and we could get higher.
Okay.
So that's a big plus. That means the Thunder won't get our pick this year and they'll have a chance at it next year.
That is good. I knew there was rules like that. I could never remember. I feel like they change those rules all the time with draft lottery and stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that is good. That's really good.
Yeah, I simulated the lottery on this website like maybe like 50 times, just like clicking it. We never moved below eight.
Really? So, okay. Let's go.
And so I looked it up and once you're in that 5 to 8 range, you're locked into at least eight.
Oh, okay. So, that's good news.
Yeah. So that's our lottery. We'll see. I don't know when is the NBA draft, in like a couple months.
Yeah.
You know, summer. We'll definitely give you a great episode to cover our predictions and probably also a lot of the results of the draft. Okay. I'll introduce this next part. This is probably the title of our episode. We may have hinted in some other episodes in the past about making a all 2024 season highlight reel of some of our favorite plays throughout the season. And this is that episode. So you've been waiting all season. We finally are going to give you the best highlights that we've seen. And I'll be honest, I was kind of compiling a lot of this list. And I forgot how exciting the Jazz were at the beginning of the season. With like none of our good players playing anymore. Yeah. It's easy to forget Jordan Clarkson dropping 36 points in an overtime win. It's easy to forget Sexton dunking on people and all those good highlights that we're going to cover. But I'll just say, if you're going to miss the Jazz after our last game, go just look at some highlight reels. It'll get you in the Jazz mode right away.
All right. Well, that takes us right in to our top 10 of the season. We have a couple honorable mentions that we... You know, we didn't feel like they belonged on maybe the top 10, but they are worth mentioning. One of the big ones was, I don't know if you remember, Taylor Hendricks had a block on Kevin Durant. Yeah. It's not an easy thing to do. Kevin Durant's 7-footer, arguably one of the most unguardable shooters ever. So that was a really good play. I'm happy with the rook that he got.
Yeah, that was his coming out. I think before that, he's still trying to figure himself out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Blocks Durant, and I think he's just got a new type of confidence about him. I would too if I blocked Durant.
Yeah, dude. All I know is if I ever blocked Kevin Durant, my head's not fitting through the door, because I would be over the moon.
Oh, most definitely. And then I'll also add an honorable mention, just Fontecchio's highlights in general.
Oh,
I don't know if you've noticed, but since Fontecchio's been on the Pistons, he's been elite.
Yeah.
He's been like their second best player on a lot of nights after Cunningham.
Yeah.
He's averaging like 18 points a game the past couple weeks. Insane. Yep. So, I don't know. I just miss... He had a lot of highlights where he'd just hit three-pointer after three-pointer. He got a couple good blocks, played good defense. just miss him. So I don't, yeah. It's not like a singular highlight that I could find, but yeah, just Fontecchio in general.
And to think he wasn't even in our rotation early in the season.
No, not at all. And then he's just clear starter.
This way in. It's incredible. We're happy for Simone. He's awesome. Our last honorable mention was the dazzling Lauri Markkanen no-look half-court save slash assist.
It's hard to describe this play. It was on the road against the Bulls.
Oh, the Bulls. That's right. Yeah. Just kind of saved it, threw it back, dropped the ball right into Olynyk's hands. And
yeah. You know, he meant to just chuck the ball 20 feet in the air behind his head and get an assist. That's what he meant to do.
Absolutely.
But,
just like the coach drew it up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. This is actually our only Markkanen highlight on this list.
Yeah.
We could have put a lot of his dunks, but the thing with his dunks, they're not super flashy because nobody wants to contest him at the rim.
No.
And he goes up straight every time. And I don't know, it's pretty similar for a lot of his dunks. So I wish we could have found him on this list a couple more times, but I think people are too scared of him at the rim.
Yeah, definitely no question about it. He's our best player. Just not very flashy. So it's hard to get him on this list, I think.
No, he got a lot of good dunks, but he did. There's some other flashier ones that made the list.
Absolutely.
Including our number 10 spot, very flashy, Colin Sexton 360 bounce fast break dunk.
Yeah.
I was pretty really excited to see this. It was kind of randomly in a game later in the season.
Yeah.
I think it shows Colin Sexton could be in a dunk contest for sure.
Oh, yeah. That'd be sick, actually. Yeah, kind of just graze the rim a little. It's hard to get up a 360, like,
right.
Especially off the bounce. You got to time that and... That's impressive. I don't think I ever could do that in my life.
Oh, no, not at all. A lot of respect to him for that.
Yeah. Next, we have kind of another one that's not really a singular highlight, but just an iconic game. Keontae George, 9 three-pointers, which is a rookie game record, or it's a tie for the rookie game record. And I would argue probably his best game of the season.
Yeah, his career high, I think, 33 points.
Yeah, that was that. Yeah, that's right. So really great game from him, and I think it belongs at number 8 on our, or number 9 on our list.
Yeah, 9 threes at our number 9 spot, that just fits perfect. So perfectly.
That's perfect.
Next, we got Sexton's tip-in buzzer beater versus Phoenix earlier in the season. The little drop on this one is we ended up losing the game in double overtime, but buzzer beater to end regulation on a tip in from Sexton. That was a really exciting play. I was jumping up and down watching the TV on this one.
Yeah, that game might have been our Markkanen highlight that went on our list if he had hit the
the shot over KD.
Yeah, the one that was a foul or maybe not a foul, whatever, you know, but we wouldn't have even got to that point if Colin Sexton wouldn't have had the touch to to get up there and put it back in. So
yeah, pretty amazing.
Really good play. Another really clutch play. Some guy we've come accustomed to clutch plays is Jordan Clarkson. Hit a clutch three against the Pistons. Former Jazzmen were showing out in that game too, which sent us to overtime.
Alec Burks hit a buzzer beater.
Yep.
After this.
So 36 points in that game for Jordan Clarkson though. And, you can't ask for much more than just hitting big shots and big moments.
This might have been my favorite game of the year. I know it was against the Pistons, but it was exciting. Alec Burks was on something, not in overtime, but throughout the game.
Yeah.
And Jordan Clarkson looked like Michael Jordan on a lot of plays where he was just hitting everything.
Yep.
Nobody could stop him. And I think his clutch three was with 10 seconds left. So it should have been a game winner had not been for Alec Burks.
Yeah, that game was crazy too, because I feel like he was just in the paint the whole game and he just dropped it in every time. Like, he just was playing with them. It was insane. It was a really good game for him.
Yeah, it definitely makes me miss Clarkson at his peak.
Yeah.
Because we haven't seen him like that in a little while.
Yeah.
But also, Clarkson is on this list again at the number 6 spot. His rebound to record the first triple-double in Jazz since 2008.
Let's go.
This is not a super flashy play, but just the significance and cool factor of this, I think it was a good spot, number 6.
Oh, absolutely. And I was I love this too, because Coach Hardy kept him in the game. Jordan Clarkson mentioned it after. He knew that the record, it had been so long.
Mm-hmm.
It's you could tell these guys love the Jazz fans, and there was no reason for him to stay in the game. But he did it for us, which is super cool. Yeah.
Clarkson's looking out for us.
Yeah.
He easily made the list with that rebound.
Absolutely. Next, we had the amazing Colin Sexton, Keontae George, double alley-oop.
Wow.
Against the Washington Wizards.
I'd never seen anything like this before.
Yeah, I totally forgot about this play, and I looked it up, and I was like, oh, yeah, I don't even know why I didn't even think. Yeah, that's, wow, just incredible athleticism. Insane.
Yeah, both of those guys could be in the dunk contest. Maybe they could together, easily. Who knows?
Yeah, easily.
Yeah, next, this is my personal favorite, but we got it at number four. It's Abaji's block on Tyler Hero.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing. He's not on the team anymore, but this play was too good to leave off the list. Tyler Hero's on the fast break going in for a dunk, and Abaji gets up and blocks it with his forearm. Like, do you think how high you have to jump to be able to block a dunk with your forearm? I don't know very many guys in the NBA that can do that, but Abaji did it, and it was probably my favorite play. I love to see that there's at least one defensive play on this list.
Oh, yeah. Blocking a dunk, too, is like, without fouling, takes some serious skill and like just
concentration,
touch, and control of your body. Yeah. Some of those BYU players need to learn from that highlight, probably. My personal favorite comes in at number three. John Collins lob poster over Bismack Biyombo.
Wow.
If you guys remember seeing the picture, he had like his arm like wrapped around him. Low-key, probably an offensive foul a little bit, but just an incredible dunk. I heard somebody call him John the Baptist.
That makes sense.
Which is a sick nickname. Didn't stick, I guess. So I guess we're in a Utah crowd. Probably that's not appropriate. But, but that probably one of my favorites. That was a great dunk.
Yeah, this... I don't even know how much longer Bismack Biyombo was on the Grizzlies after that dunk.
Yeah.
So it might have just sent him to
free
agency.
He might have retired. I don't know.
I think he might be on a team now, but after that, his time with Memphis was short.
Yeah.
But great dunk by Collins. Could have been number one. But at number two, we got another dunk. Keontae George's first poster dunk on Dyson Daniels.
Oh.
Wow, wow, wow.
First of many, hopefully.
Go look up this dunk right now or after the episode because it's so athletic. He jumps so high.
Yep.
Dyson Daniels very much got dunked on.
Yes,
and it was a good dunk from Keontae.
Yes, he did. Keontae got up on that. He threw that ball down. It wasn't like he was just like scraping the bottom of the rim. He was crazy athleticism. Mm-hmm. And number one, but certainly not least, was the Colin Sexton poster over Chet Holmgren, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome.
Both those guys were committed to the block. He just put it down over both of them. Wasn't scared.
Yeah, I mean, Chet Holmgren's got a lot of blocks throughout his rookie season. So I don't think there's very many guys that are looking to go dunk on him. But I'll be also kind of biased. I was at this game. And being able to see the energy in the arena when he threw that down was so exciting.
Yeah.
Colin Sexton has the ability to do that.
Yeah, where absolutely.
He'll just fill up all the energy. It'll look so good out there.
Absolutely. We may have mixed feelings as a fan base about our front office, but I'll tell you what, we got some guys that are balling, that are playing hard. They don't care if we're trying to tank. They're trying to win. So you got to respect it and love it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a good number one. Go look that one up too, please. At least after the season's over, look up some of these because I know you'll miss the Jazz in a month or two.
That's right. We're going to be watching those all summer. It's going to be awesome. I guess moving on to some NBA news or discussion, I guess. The seeding's kind of getting a little crazy in the NBA. Mm-hmm. We mentioned earlier... the top three seeds in the West, the Thunder,
they're all tied,
and Nuggets are all tied. I think it works out that the Thunder have the first somehow tiebreaker, but and then play-in's not, I mean, the teams in the play-in are set, but like how they're gonna work out is not really set. I think the only team in the West that's set is the Clippers and
Mavericks, at that 4-5 spot.
Yeah,
I also say I didn't realize till we were looking at this closer that the East is really, really mixed up also.
Yeah.
Of course, the Celtics have pretty much got the number one spot by a wide margin.
Yeah.
But like the Bucks are only one game ahead of the Cavaliers, who are at four.
Yeah.
And the Knicks are tied with them at three.
Yeah.
So like 2-4 is really close. And then the Magic at five, they're tied with... the Pacers and the 76ers. So any of those teams could fall into the play-in with this last game. So
yeah,
pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is really interesting. It'd be cool to see. I think as of right now, we're set up for some really good matchups in the playoffs. I'm excited for playoff basketball. Mm-hmm. It'd be a little more fun if, obviously, if we were cheering on the Jazz in a series, but now we get to be just unbiased, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I think it'll be good these last couple games. We'll figure out who's matched up with who finally.
Yeah.
Also say our last game's against the Warriors. We already talked about there. They very much need to win to get a higher spot. They don't want to be in that 9-10.
Absolutely. Another hot race, MVP.
Ooh.
I think we kind of talked about it. We decided, well, and just in general, it seems like the consensus is that it's probably either Luka or Jokic.
Yeah, I mean, Giannis has had an amazing season.
Yeah.
He's not going to win it, but you got to throw his name in there.
I feel like Giannis is kind of like the LeBron James, where it's like we eventually just got tired of how good he was for so long.
Yeah, yeah.
And
he's amazing.
He's incredible, yeah.
Yeah, and then Joel Embiid, if he didn't get hurt, he easily could have won it. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is looking MVP level.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of come down to either Luka or Nikola Jokic.
I think so, yeah. You could make a long shot argument for Shai, but probably not.
Right.
Who are you picking between those two, though, Luka or?
I got Luka.
Okay.
It's so close. Like, if it's Jokic, cool. That's all right with me. If it's Luka, cool. It's all right with me. But I might give Luka the edge just because he hasn't won an MVP yet, and I think he deserves one.
Yeah, I agree.
And even though his team's a little bit lower in the standings, I know that's an argument why Jokic might deserve it.
Yeah.
I think Jokic's team is a little bit better constructed and a little bit more talented than the Mavericks.
Yeah.
And so I think some of the reason why he's higher is because of his teammates.
Yeah.
Even though that's kind of, I don't know how you could say that about Jokic because he elevates everybody else too. Yeah. But I think Luka's team's a little bit less talented. So I think that's why I don't really care as much about the seeding.
Definitely. Yeah. Luka's currently almost 33.9 points a game. 9 rebounds and basically 10 assists.
10 assists is crazy, too.
And a steal and a half a game. Just incredible. I just think, we've talked about it in like previous episodes, but I just think we're in like the heyday of the NBA right now. Like, there's so much talent. Like, it is just wild. It's not, and like, that's the reason for all these like log jams and seeding is because all these teams have great players, and it's just incredible. What a time to be alive as an NBA fan.
Yeah. So we'll see who gets it. Let us know who your MVP is.
Yeah. And if it's Colin Sexton, we understand. That is a great pick.
And then we'll get into March Madness ended since our last episode, the championship game. UConn Huskies, so dominant throughout the entire tournament. Yeah. I had them as my winner in our bracket group, but that didn't get me to win the group. I was about like average, but
yeah.
Yeah, pretty exciting game. Donovan Klingon's really good, too.
Yeah, double-digit victory. I saw a graphic. I don't know if you saw it at the game, but they had the biggest point differential like for the tournament as a whole of any team ever, and I think there were like a 20-point difference between first and second place. Man. Just dominant.
They were number one by like wide margin.
Yeah, wow. Pretty huge. So just an insanely dominant run. But a lot of people saw it coming, so
good pick. Yeah, definitely.
Also, kind of some sad news coming out of Provo here. Mark Pope, the former coach of the BYU Cougars.
So sad, so sad.
Just took the job at Kentucky. 5 years, $27
million. Wow. Let's get paid.
But the church, I guess, will get $2.7 million back. So I saw somebody make that joke earlier. It's kind of funny.
Taxes, I guess. Right?
Yeah, taxes. So it's really for us, but kind of sad, but happy for him. Like that's his alma mater.
Right.
You don't get that type of job, doesn't open up every day. Probably the most sought after job in college basketball.
Yeah, especially like Kentucky, Duke, those blue blood teams.
So I'm happy for him, even though it really sucks for BYU.
I think to just look on the other side, of course it's exciting for him and a great opportunity, but also it's gonna be hard to follow up John Calipari. Absolutely. He was so good for so long. Even though he'd lost a few tournament games recently, his legacy is gonna be hard to follow up. So I hope that people don't judge him and compare him to John Calipari, but that he just does his own thing.
Yeah. I feel like as BYU fans, we have really high standards, but then you look at Kentucky fans and that's like a whole new level.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that Kentucky had a really good season this year. They've had such a run with John Calipari, and yet people were calling for him to be fired this year. And it's like, what in the world? Like, that is just insane. I genuinely hope for Coach Pope that they'll give him a couple of years to figure out recruiting and stuff.
He's getting paid either way, so yeah, good for him. But then sad for BYU on the other side. I don't really know very many guys. I need to do some research, but who would fill this spot?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe our assistant coach. I don't know his name. I know Mark Pope came from UVU, so maybe we could look into their coach. I don't know. You feel like anybody could be a good candidate to replace him?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of lists. I mean, I think the best option probably is Mark Madsen, former UVU coach, took over.
Okay.
Took over from Coach Pope when he came to BYU, and then now he's the coach at Cal. But he just got extended, so BYU's going to have to pay like $4 million to get him
Man, that's a lot of money.
If he even wants the job. So that's probably our best option, and it makes it hard because like the short list is like has to – From what I understand, it has to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ.
That's what I heard too, yeah.
So I don't think there's a very long list. So.
Mark Madsen, just wave the money. No, he won't do that.
Yeah, blink twice if you want to come. We'll go get you.
Yeah, I mean, we got $5 million. We could. Yeah. That's kind of a lot on a coach. So.
Yeah.
I guess that's just how it is nowadays. But.
Yeah, but hopefully we hire somebody soon because Dallin Hall, Ali Khalifa both hit the portal.
Oh, so
we
sad.
Also have a 4-star and a 3-star currently committed. And we want to keep them, so hopefully we get somebody that can convince them to stay, because that's what would be good.
Our last bit of news, this came like last night, so I'm glad that we record the podcast today instead of yesterday. Utah's getting our NHL team.
Let's go.
Finally. Let's go.
And with that, this is now the Tuned In Coyotes pod. I'm just kidding. It's not, but... We're super excited. That's so freaking
awesome. Look
out
for us to become a hockey podcast on accident.
Yeah.
Because we love this. But Ryan Smith, he was kind of hyping this up a little bit earlier this year. He executed the plan and we've got a hockey team now.
He did. Somebody tweeted out the other day, he tweeted out the other day saying, what are some good hockey team names? I thought he was just trolling. I mean, we all knew he wanted a hockey team. But I guess he was being serious.
He wasn't kidding.
He was not joking.
Yeah, I mean, do you have any names that come to mind that you'd like to see us called? I mean, Coyotes isn't too bad. We could just keep that.
That kind of fits Utah a little. I think like Golden Spikes would be cool. I think it's a little too close to the Golden Knights, but...
Oh, because of like the railroad? The
monument there, yeah. That'd be kind of cool.
That'd be sick. Or just Spikes in general.
Yeah.
Could be a good name.
I heard somebody say like Mountaineers or something. That would be okay.
Pioneers,
yeah. Somebody was saying this was for the baseball team. It might be a better baseball team name, but it was the Seagulls, and then you should call the team the Gulls, which is kind of cool.
I kind of like that.
I don't like Seagulls like by itself, but the Gulls sounds kind
of
cool.
We got a lot of Seagulls in Utah.
Yeah, that's fitting.
Yeah, so let us know if you have any good names. I actually think Ryan Smith... Qualtrics guy, right?
Yeah.
He's got a survey you can fill out on Qualtrics. There's a link that he tweeted out. So go let Ryan Smith know. Don't let us know
what
team name you want to see for the hockey team.
Yes, we can't let the whole yellow jersey debacle happen again. We got to let Ryan Smith know what we want. This time.
We need good feedback.
Get out ahead of
the diehards. But yeah, I'm excited to become a huge NHL fan next year.
Absolutely. It's exciting. Like, it'd be cool to watch some... I used to go to... Did you ever go to Grizzlies games growing up in Salt Lake?
No, I might have gone to one, but I don't remember.
We used to... Obviously, I'm from West Valley, obviously where the Maverick Center is. And it was always fun to go as a kid. I never understood what was happening in the game, but I was just waiting for the fights to happen. I was so excited to watch. So it'll be cool to watch NHL level fights.
Professionals out there.
Yeah.
And I will say, I think the Golden Knights in Vegas, they just joined... Mm-hmm. A couple of years ago, they already won a championship.
They won a Stanley Cup,
So who knows? We could maybe win a Stanley Cup also. They were new, they won, so who knows about us?
For real, it makes me wonder, I'm sure we'll hear more about it in the near future, but what the stadium plans are, if it's going to be Delta Center.
Yeah, I think they would probably do Delta Center for now unless something
else came. Yeah, I guess they're moving next year, so they don't really have a lot of time to build something.
Yeah.
Unless they go in the Maverick Center, I guess they could, but I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Super cool. Well, thank you to everyone for listening to this episode of Tuned In Jazz. Let us know again if there's any highlights we missed or that you wanted to see at a different spot on the list. We know the season is ending, but we are not ending.
Nope.
We're going to keep giving you jazz news throughout the off season, and we'll catch you next week with kind of more of a season recap, kind of looking into the playoffs.
Yeah, 82 games. We've covered 24 episodes. Thank you so much for listening. We know that there's other things you could be doing with your time, but we just appreciate all the support and love, and we hope that we can continue to make great content for you. Thanks for joining us.
Take care.
Peace.